This is the National Public Broadcast of W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, and now Imam Muhammad.
The average one of you, from circumstances even much better than my father's, a man, a foreigner, can come to you and tell you most outrageous things about the life of people abroad, and you will have no way of saying you're a liar or you're truthful, because you don't know anything about life abroad. Not in that level of education that Honorable Elijah Muhammad had, and not in that time that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was in when Mr. Farrar made his appearance. No, the uneducated, deprived of education, information, culture, etc., they had no way of questioning Mr. Farrar. He could have told them that Saudi Arabia is a black man's country. All black people over there. He could have told him that. He wouldn't have known. How would he know the difference? So he had no way of questioning his teacher. And he had no will to suspect his teacher, since his teacher was appealing to him to join the effort to dignify and lift up the black man. He had no interest in questioning him. Just like you have no interest in listening to me if I question. You are still in the grip. Yes! And you think I'm angry with you? No, I love you. If you come here, I'll kiss you. I love you so much, I'll kiss you. And I'll kiss you and kiss you. And try to kiss you until you wake up. Yes, I love you. I can't help it. God has made me. Yes, God has made me to take over where my father left off, and to keep bringing you closer and closer to where you have to go to be at home with yourself and at home with your God. Great precious on the soul of the African American, on the soul of the black people. Great pressure because of the lie told against our worth as human beings in the world of human beings. Great pressure. You know, if you tell, especially when, you know, if you tell a child something ugly, very ugly, against how that child perceives his parent, you put a terrible, terrible pressure on that child's heart and mind. Likewise, when you tell of people who don't know, have been separated and excluded from information, separated from and excluded, kept out of information, so they don't have access to the records. They don't have access to the facts of history. And you tell them that they're subhuman. Put it in documents that protect the order of this society, the Constitution of these United States. That he's two-fifths of a man. Two-fifths of a man. And then we know that. We hear that and we know it. Maybe Du Bois, with his intellect, with his knowledge of people living in France and people of a different opinion, maybe he could hear that and not be pushed down in his dignity or out of his dignity. But the ignorant that can't argue back, when they hear that, it just goes quietly into the mind and reaches the soul, and without their mind even reacting, and it began to work as a poison, like a terrible virus that sneaked into their system, and they don't even know what's making them so docile. Of course, intimidating them when the opportunity is there, but they're afraid to step into it. They don't know what's holding them back. But it's that poisonous germ the lie of their worth as a person and a people that went into them and they had no education to fight it and started to take away their strength to even stand up as a human being. You can still be religious, going to church, getting the Holy Ghost, and that's not the ridicule. I sometimes get the Holy Ghost. The Nation of Islam did something to me. My body just can't jump too much under the Spirit. My body won't stand still. But inside, man, I'm rolling, I'm doing the holy roller and everything else. I'm shaking and trembling and speaking in tongues inside. Yes. Yes, you can be a devoted churchgoer and when your folks say let's do a great thing, you become speechless. You can't respond. You have no will to join them in doing a great thing. A foreigner come in with the same invitation and you jump up. Why? Because it was a foreigner, it was somebody else who said that you weren't worthy of any great challenge. So when they come in, we can do it. We can do it, boss. You don't say boss, but your spirit is, your behavior is saying boss. Yeah, we can do it. But even that person that have been overcome by that germ intended to kill their will to be the man or the woman that God intended them to be, even such a person still has that pressure on them. Pressure ain't going off. That pressure's on you. And it's going to stay on you until one day you wake up in your soul and say, I'm through with this inferiority in me. God created me for great things and didn't create me for any reward less than what he created any other person for.
That's right.
And you're going to rise up and do something about your state. Yes, sirree. And I know it's coming. But in this day and time, I know that you who are in that state can't be reached by anything except Mother Nature's work on you. We don't have to worry about you. And you're so few now, I really ask our ministers, imams, don't worry about them. Don't spend no time. Don't waste 2 minutes of your talk on them. You say, well, look how long you've been talking on them. More than 2 minutes, we sure. I ain't talking to them, I'm talking to you. So you'll be in better position to help yourself and them. I just want you to know their state too. I'm not talking to them, but I'm reaching them a little bit. And the way to reach them is not to talk to them. Talk to somebody else and let them hear it. Praise be to Allah. Great pressure. Now look, God says to us, not only in the Quran, but the Quran is very clear and expressive in this. Says there are signs in the heavens and in the earth, and as well as in your own self and human beings. Says, but most of the people go on heedless, not paying any attention. God didn't say there are signs just in those things of the heavens that the great prophet Isaiah and others saw and commented on. Allah revealed to Muhammad the prophet, the last of the prophets, that those great signs are up there for all people, the common person, all of us. Those signs exist for all of us, but in everything. So I'm looking at science now, and I'm looking in science to see what are the signs. There's signs in everything. You can't alter God's creation. You can't change it. You can't take it out of its natural state and put it in a state and end that that creation, a power that God created it with, to communicate messages to the intellect of man, and I mean man and woman. No. So I'm looking at technology, and I'm reading science, because that's still God's creation, and it never is deprived of its ability or its power to send messages to the intellect of man. So I'm looking at technology. But I'm also aware of science theory on the beginning of the earth and how the earth is made, how it's constituted, how it's made up right now. And when you think about it, and many, this is nothing new, the comparison that I make, that these comparisons have been made, I guess, thousands of years ago by religious students who study the revelation of God, God's revelation to man. I'm looking at what we have been given as a picture of this earth, and we're told that the earth is solid on the outer surface, solid in its outer surface, but in its interior it is liquid, and the liquid is fire, liquid fire. There's proof of that when we see a volcano, and there comes the liquid fire shooting up through a crevice, through an opening in the earth's surface or in the earth's floor. So we do have proof of that. That would make us agree with science. Yes, that liquid fire is coming from somewhere, called lava. So that liquid fire is coming from somewhere. So we do have proof of it. Now, this liquid, when we see it cool on the earth, it was not liquid like water. Water remains liquid after it has cooled. Freeze it too much, it'll become solid. But it'll be solid water. And if you put heat to it again, it melts very easily, very quickly. So what comes out of the belly of the earth, or out of the interior of the earth, deep interior of the earth, is really earth. But the heat is so much that it can't solidify under the pressure. That's what science says. It's pressure. How is that fire staying there and continue to stay there all of this time? And it doesn't go out. Pressure. This is the theory of science. Theory means belief. This is the belief of science. But a belief that's based upon some evidence or some rational support for it. Theory. It's a theory. No different than faith, really. The faith of Abraham. That's exactly what the faith of Abraham was. It was a belief, but based upon some rational support for that belief. And yes, so the earth, are you getting impatient? My time is very valuable now. When I started with you in 1975, you could have given me $5 an hour. Now you insult me if you give me $500 an hour. It'll be a big insult. Because I make more than $500 an hour, speaking to non-Muslims. They pay me. Yes. So this great mass, the earth, solid surface we're walking on, it puts pressure and gravity.
We'll return to today's broadcast after this important announcement. Imam W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, will be making appearances throughout the country, and those wishing to support his mission of propagation and community assistance are asked to send their contributions made payable to Ministry of W.D. Muhammad and mail to Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois 60409. And now back to today's program.
So this great mass, the earth, solid surface we're walking on, it puts pressure and gravity. Gravity puts pressure on the earth's surface and causes such great heat in its interior. The heat is so extreme, it melts the interior. In fact, the interior has never been anything but melted. because of the mass and the gravity, the pressure from the outside. And that pressure breaks through weak places in the surface, in the surface of the earth. So if something happened, like an earthquake or some other natural phenomena, happens to shift the plates, the solid plates that hold up the sand and the earth, the soil, etc. If something happens and makes a crevice, an opening, that hot interior shoots, spurts right up through it. It happens in the water, in the ocean, as well as on land. This is science. Now, God says in everything, in the creation, there are signs. What he has created is his word. The whole collection of matter, our material existence, bears the will of God to express itself as a testimony to the presence of God and to the fact that God is its maker. So it speaks its messages to us, to the mind or the intellect of the human being. So now, look, what message do I get out of this liquid core that remains liquid because of so much pressure on it? It is a sign of how God advances creation on the path to its destination or its destiny. Now we have, as a people, we have been under great pressure. And in our core is this liquid fire. Liquid fire made by the pressure of the world that said we are black people and inferior two-fifths of a human being. White supremacist charges against our humanity or against our human life. That's the pressure, along with other pressures, have us boiling inside. An interior can't really solidify. It remains in a fiery state. But every now and then, there's an Elijah or somebody to shift the plates of the surface. And a crack, a crevice. And then, and there's a Malcolm spewing fire all over the land. There's a Farrakhan and my Imam, David Dean Muhammad, spewing fire all over there. And they say, whoa, let's get away from the mountain. The lava is rolling down the mountainside. Going to kill everything alive in its path. But after we cool, they come back and pick up gold, pick up silver, pick up copper. Oh, they've thrown out precious elements have been thrown out of the belly. So, we thought Elijah was just spitting up fire. Elijah spit up some precious metals that are not only good for the black man, but good in the treasures of white America. There are signs, brother. Signs. Oh, yes. In everything that God has created, there are signs. And I can go on talking to you about this fire. That's not the end of it. Oh, it has a lot of messages. It has a lot of messages. So it's sometimes good to release your fire. Especially when it won't let you form a productive surface. It won't let you form a productive surface.
But if the world just stopped putting so much pressure on you, you won't keep spewing it out and messing up the surface. It'll be contained. And the surface will become more solid. And in time, it will just soften. It will just soften to the rain and become productive. Become a paradise. There's so many beautiful things growing on it. That's because you have suppressed your anger for the sake of growth and beautiful production. And you can't do that. You can't do that as long as the most, I would say, attention-grabbing thing is arousing your anger. You need something to come into your life as a strong attention grabber that's not arousing your anger, but soothing your nature. And that's the message of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that says God loves you and God has come to destroy your enemy and deliver you from his grip. Oh, that's so soothing. Now I don't have to give a lot of my attention to white people as a threat to my life. Because I've been told that God got something coming for them. God got something for them. I ain't got to worry about coming out there boxing with them. I can't box with missiles anyway. Now my attention is given more to the soothing teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that respects my dignity and my human worth and makes me feel good. So the fire began to quiet, to let our surface solidify, and growth comes, and the rain touches us all. This is wonderful. That's exactly what is happening. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad and others started it, but we're here to keep it going. Yes, we want to keep before you the great soothing reality. So you won't be too occupied with the wrong that the white world has done to you. See, there is a psychology. If you can engage a person in something that you control, you can take over their lives completely. If I can keep you angry with me, day and night, I don't have to worry about you going anywhere. Because I'm holding you psychologically. Because you won't see that you're wasting too much time with me, even though I'm a big trouble in your life. You're wasting too much time with me. You have to have some time to keep your own life and to build your own life. You can't keep your mind on me all the time. So when I was a young minister, around 1954 or 5, I recognized that. I recognized that we in the Nation of Islam were being kept from freedom to work and produce more for ourselves by the habit of just dwelling on the white man as evil and the devil, and the reason for us having all our problems. We dwelled on it so much that I said, hey, how can we really free ourselves to work on our own life and to build up our own selves up if we're going to spend all this time talking about this white man, the devil? So you know what I said to them as a young minister? I doubt if I was 23 years old when I said this. I said to them, you make the devil more important than you make God. When you talk about the devil all the time and talk about the God only a little. That's what I told them then. Oh, you are criticizing the Nation of Islam? You're criticizing your father? My father didn't think that. He heard it. He knew it. He never once told me to stop. I even went further than that. We're just reviewing the history. It's good. That's what we should do. I went even further than that. I told the ministers, I said, we are wrong to say in the name of Allah and in the name of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I said, this sounds like the Christians. who say, in the name of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I said, nowhere in the Holy Quran where I have read in the name of God and in the name of something else or somebody else. That's what I told him. Now, I have to admit that I was young and naive. But God's hand was on me, just as his hand was on my father when my father reached into his pocket and gave Mr. Rod his last dime. Yes, so I told him that was wrong. Now he said, what's your father? Did he put you out there? No, he didn't put me out. The only one that openly resisted me or showed that he was not going along with that suggestion was our supreme captain at that time, Raymond Sharif. He would make a point of getting up behind me and he would say, in the name of Allah, in the name of our dear holy apostle, his messenger, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He would make a point of saying that. And I was young and naive, but I was mature at the same time. You think I got up there and said, oh, he's telling you all that you shouldn't. I was just as quiet and comfortable. I never got up and even indicated that I was displeased with what he did. But I kept on doing what I thought was right. Chicago, New York, all around the United States fell in line with my suggestion. Malcolm and all of them start saying, in the name of Allah, and I suggested them to say, and we thank him for the honor of Elijah Muhammad. And they followed my advice. So even way back there, my influence was growing on the Nation of Islam to change it so that it will one day be where we are today.
Join us next time for the National Public Broadcast of W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American Spokesman. For more on the ministry of Imam Muhammad, call 1-708-862-7733 or write Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.